Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see all you guys here this morning. I hope you picked up a LifePoint outline as you came in to our building here, and you can follow along with me as we go through God's Word. We have worked our way through the book of Colossians, and the whole point in the book of Colossians, the main point that we're seeking to pull out, is that Paul's teaching to the Christians there in Colossae is how you put Jesus first in your life. And of course, that's what we're talking about here this whole month. It's what we're looking at for this whole year, in fact, is honoring Christ, treasuring Christ by reading the Word, knowing the Word, and sharing the Word. And so that's why we're just getting you into the Word of God and just opening up these scriptures so that it will get inside of us and get down inside of us. And so our whole point and hope has been that at some point in this series or here this fall or next spring, that there will be this defining moment in your life where there will be something happen at the core of your being, and you realize you hear the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and He's calling you. He's calling you, whatever stage of life that you're in, He's calling you to put Him first. Because as you put Him first, He's going to be able to do through you why you and I are here. That is what has kept me going the last 48, 49 years here on the Hill, that God's had me in ministry. And that is understanding as I've gone along, why is it that God has me here? What is the whole purpose and the plan? And I know there are things that God wants me to do. And what we're going to learn here is God has a plan for each one of us. And the reality is that if we don't do what God has designed for us to do, then it's not going to get done. God has something specific for you as His son, His daughter, that He wants you to do. And here's the kicker. If you don't do it, it doesn't get done. Why? It's your deal. It's for you. And so I had to think about that, even about being the shepherd here on the hill. If I did not yield to what the Father wanted for me to do, then what He wanted to do would not have been done. It isn't always that you've got the fallback. Well, if I don't do it, somebody else what? Will. No. That's not what Paul's teaching us. And so I want us to look at Scripture. And Paul starts his instruction in chapter 4. And I want us to look at verses 2, 3, 4, and 5. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Paul said, speaking to them, he says, guys, he said, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it, being watchful in your praying. Think about what you're praying about and do it with thanksgiving. At the same time, I want you to pray also for us, meaning for Him, that God may open to us a door for the Word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which, the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. So remember, we've talked about this. Where is Paul when he writes to the Colossian church? Where is he writing from? He's from prison. Yeah, this is a prison epistle, okay? And so it just really expands everything that he's saying here when you realize he's not writing from behind a desk, you know, in his house. He's in a prison cell. And the prisons, the jails that we have today, you know, would be like some high-end motel experience in regards to what Paul was going through. You know, they didn't have that at all. He said, account of which I'm in prison, pray for me, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. He said, pray for me, because I need to understand. I want to understand, why does God have me here? Why am I here? and what is it God wants me to do because I'm here? Does that make sense? Walk in wisdom, Paul said, toward outsiders, those outside the faith. Walk in wisdom toward the men and women who are not in the faith. Be wise in your dealings with unbelievers, making the best use of your time. Now, what I see when I look at this is there are like four primary commands in our text. And what Paul is doing is he's specifically challenging us through the church at Colossae. He said there are three things that you should probably be praying for yourself. These are three things I want you praying. And then he says, lastly, he kind of gives this charge about how we're to behave as someone who understands what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So that's how we'll close it out this morning. So if you got your life point outline, just to help us open up and get what God's got for us, I want you to look at number one. What Paul is saying, number one, is he said, pray for wisdom. What kind of wisdom? To fulfill my gospel obligations. I want you to pray for me, and I want you to pray for yourself that you and I together will fulfill our obligations that God has given us with regards to the gospel. Look at verse 2. He said, continue steadfastly in prayer. What does he want them praying for? Look at verse 4. So that, I want you to be praying, that I may make it clear. What is the it? The gospel. He said, guys, I want you to be praying for me. I'm in prison. I want you to be praying for me so that it will be clear to me how I am to handle the gospel here, what I am to do with regards to the gospel. Paul wanted wisdom. He said, I know I've got some ministry obligations. I know that God has called me to do something. And see, this is all with regards to you and me, that God is saying to you this morning and to me that we don't forget we are a called people. We're called. We are called to serve Christ. That's his message. And Paul believed, he said, I know I have been given this particular personal assignment for the kingdom of God. If there's anything I want you to walk out of here this morning, I want you to walk out of here with that understanding that like the Apostle Paul, there is a call on your life that is very specific. There is something God wants you and I to accomplish while we're here on this earth. All right? We have an assignment. If you go back to chapter 1 in Colossians, chapter 1, verse 25, Paul said, God has given me a stewardship. All right? Another word for that, other places, is called a commission. God has given me a commission. What does that mean? Paul is saying, I understand that I have been given a calling, and it is something only for me. God has called me to something, and it's my calling. Something that if I don't do it, it won't get done. Now, he talks about this in other places. You might want to write down someplace. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. Paul says, necessity is laid on me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. See, he had this whole idea. There's this calling on me. And woe to me if I don't do what God has put me here to do. All right, here's the kicker. What he tells us in Scripture is that not only is he called, is he commissioned, but he said, all of us who have been born again, we're commissioned too. There is a commission for you. There's a commission for me. Look at the insight in your outline. Not everything that comes from heaven has your name on it, but something does. Not everything that comes from heaven has your name on it, but something does. Paul said every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has an assignment. And if they don't do it, it doesn't get done. That's what I want you to leave here thinking about. God, you've got me here for a reason. I'm planted in Lufkin for a reason. Why am I not in Dallas? Why am I not in Houston? Why am I not in... pick a place. Why are you here? There's a reason. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying, I'm in prison. Why am I here? He said, there is a reason I am here. Not every part, not everything we do here on the hill has your name on it. I want you to understand that. You know, every time we talk about serving others, every time we talk about, you know, working with in children's ministry or working in life group ministry, being a life group leader, there are a lot of different things that are going on here on the hill. There are plenty of places to plug in. What I want you to always remember is every time I'm talking about this, it's not like I'm talking directly to you and I'm trying to put the bead on you. The whole deal is there are all these opportunities that God has given us here on the hill to offer you a place to serve. The deal is you've got to determine in talking with the Father, God, where do you want me plugged in? Because the reality is you didn't mean for me to do everything, but you did mean for me to do something. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Okay. So just kind of relieves you in some way and burdens you in others, right? So just so we understand, not every part of the mission of God is assigned to you, but some part is. There is something in the kingdom work that's got your name on it. Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, the sinners in Lufkin? And I'm not using that derogatorily. I'm talking about the men and women who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because remember, if I'm in Christ, you don't call me a sinner. I am a saint of God. I'm not a sinner who every now and then acts like a saint. I am a saint who every now and then acts like a sinner, right? There's a big difference between those two things. Remember, we don't like the song here, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, I was a sinner, and once I've been saved, I'm no longer a sinner. I'm a saint who every now and then sins, right? And so that's the truth, and that's what I want you walking in. Well, the sinners in Lufkin, the men and women who do not know Christ yet, what do they need? They need to see everyday people like you living day in and day out for the Lord Jesus, that they just see that your life is counting. 1 Corinthians 9, 27, Paul said, he understood, he said, but I discipline my body. Paul, why are you disciplining your body? Because there's people all around me who don't know Christ. And I don't want to live in such a way that I give them a false idea of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And he said, I discipline my body. What do you mean? I don't let the desires of my flesh nature control me. I keep my sin nature under the control of the Holy Spirit, lest after preaching to others, in other words, I've talked to people about Jesus. He said, if I'm not careful, then I myself will become disqualified, because I'll talk to people about Jesus on one hand, and then before I know it, they turn around and they see me, or they hear something coming out of my mouth, or they see me the way I'm living, and they're like, is that what it means to be a follower of Christ? You see, that doesn't mean that I live a perfect life, right? But it does mean that I seek to live in such a way that I don't bring dishonor to the name of Jesus. Does that make sense? Right? People get all caught up in the thing, you know, can I drink? Can I not drink? Can I go to that movie? Can I not go to that movie? You know what the main problem is? The main issue is not either one of those. The main problem is, or the issue is, if I do either one of those things or a myriad of other things, is it going to hinder my witness to somebody that is around me that doesn't know Jesus? See, that's the issue. Because if I do that, and I've got the freedom to do that, I do have the freedom to do that. But that's not the issue. The issue is, will my freedom hurt somebody else? And for the love of their souls, I don't do it. I don't do a lot of things I could do. Why? Because of people. Because I don't want to be a stumbling block to people. All of us, as members here on the hill, say that we follow Christ. But we have to continue living in such a way that we'll be able to share the gospel with Jesus Christ. That this place, do you know the absolute worst thing that can happen? Is that this family of believers can lose our credibility in the community. Huh? That is tragic. And that happens by how we live our lives. And I sense that pressure. I feel that pressure year in and year out here on the Hill. And Paul says, I want you to understand. He said, it's important that you don't lose your testimony. He said, because I want you to understand this. There are certain people in your frame of reference you are supposed to witness to. I don't expect you to start a salvation conversation with everybody you come across. Don't do that. You'll be weird. And please, let's do everything we can so that people don't think believers are weird, right? You and I are responsible to do what God has assigned us to do specifically. We are obligated to fulfill the assignment. See, I've got to understand, I have stolen from my Father if I don't do my life assignment. I knew that coming here was God's will for me. And the reality is, coming here, staying here, all focuses and hinges on doing what God put me here to do. And the whole deal is, I don't want to come to the end of my road failing to fulfill my obligation, something that God intended for me to do and it wasn't done. And so what happens is the good that could have come from what I did, our decisions that could have been made for Christ weren't made. And so every time I walk up these steps on Sunday morning, I am praying, Father, I've done everything I can to get ready. And if you don't show up, it's going to be a bummer. And so God, I just pray that you'll use this today because I don't know who this is for. I don't know who it, God, you're going to be specifically speaking to. And then, you know, there's that terrible warning in Scripture. It's been a long time since I've talked about it. This used to drive me when I first started ministry here. It's Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. And it is so applied to our lives. And here's what God spoke to Ezekiel. He said, Son of man, now listen, I have made you a watchman on the wall. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, the wicked person will die in his sin, but his blood I will require at your hand. Woe is us if we preach not the gospel. Woe is us if we don't get the message of Christ to the foreign lands. Woe is us if God has prospered us and we don't support missions and do everything we can to get men and women on the fields where they're ripe unto harvest. Does that make sense? Yes. That's what we're talking about here. That's why we do what we do. You understand, beloved sons and daughters of God, that is the reason, those of you who are listening online, that is the reason we gather every 7 days, that we will not forget we are watchmen on the walls. We are the ones that see the judgment of God coming. We know that hell is looming. And you and I are to warn men and women. How? We warn them by our lives, how we live. We warn them by our lips, and we warn them by our living, where we work every day. Those are three ways we warn people. And the truth in your outline, there are certain people in your life you are supposed to share Christ with. And that's the first thing Paul prays for. He said, oh, that God would give me wisdom to perceive and fulfill my gospel obligations, my assignment. Why? He's in prison. And he said, I don't want to miss why God's got me here. And I think it's encouraging to read that Paul, the apostle, was asking God for clarity. That gives me encouragement. Paul asked God for clarity on his assignment. Look at verse 3 and 4. He said, pray for us, for me, here in prison, that it will be clear how I am supposed to talk to other people about Jesus while I'm here. Now, I know I relate to that because sometimes I struggle to know, God, what do you want me to do as lead pastor? What do you want me to do here? Do you ever feel that way? God, am I doing what you want me to do? You ever feel that way? I mean, I do. What does God want for me right now in this time? Does God want me to share Christ with that guy? You know, when I'm at the gym and I'm on the treadmill, you know, this guy comes up, I don't even know, and he gets on the treadmill next to him. Am I supposed to share Christ with him? Am I supposed to wait and kind of build a relationship with him? Is this his last day on earth? If he leaves, is he going to go to heaven or hell? And all those things start racing through my mind. And I'm like, I'm messed up. Now I can't even enjoy what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You know, the mission fields are about to open up. We're already talking. Pastor Ross is going to be taking a mission trip soon, going to Niger and going to Uganda. And so you're going to be faced with the deal in the very near future. You know, do I go on the next mission trip? God, is that what you want me to do? What, you know, what's my part in children's ministry? That's something that we're thinking about a lot. I've learned two comfort truths. Let me give you two comfort truths that help me in battling about whether or not, you know, I'm doing this or you know what God wants. All right, number one, I have learned I am like a sheep. But I am like a sheep. That's what God reveals to me. That's what God talks about in the 23rd Psalm. So that means that since sheep are helpless idiots, and if left on their own, a sheep will get lost and they will die. And if he says, you're like a sheep, John, that kind of comforts me, then I should not get surprised that I get confused about direction in life. I mean, I'm a sheep. And what does that mean? It means sheep need a shepherd to guide them. And the good news is I've got a really good one. His name is Christ. And Lord, lead me, guide me. And that's what Psalm 23 is all about. Guide me in the paths of righteousness for your namesake. So I take comfort that number one, I'm like a sheep. Then I take comfort number two, that God can use anything to accomplish his will. And that really comforts me. It is instructive, beloved, to read Numbers chapter 22, verse 28. God spoke through a jackass and told a man he was on the wrong road. So here's your insight. If God can use a donkey to convey divine truth to a straying sinner, pause and think about that. If he can use a donkey, why do you and I fear that he can't use us? Isn't that good news? That is so comforting. God had this purpose for Paul, and yet Paul had to pray for wisdom to perceive what it was and the courage to fulfill it. And then number two, pray for ability to pursue new gospel opportunities. That's what he did. Verse three, he said, pray that God will open a door for the work. Now, what is noteworthy is Paul at this time, he's been on several missionary journeys. He's planted churches. He's been imprisoned numerous times and beaten numerous times. He's testified before Roman dignitaries. And yet in verse three, what's he asking God for? He said, Father, I want to understand and see the new doors of opportunity for the gospel that you're giving me. And the insight, Paul could have said, you know what? I've done my part. But he kept knocking for the next open door to the lives of the lost. And let me just say to this, beloved, and I hope that you understand that here on the Hill, please understand, I am not, the elders, we are not, our church is, it's not about building an empire. That is not it. It's not about being the biggest church in the Piney Woods. Here's the truth that drives me, the truth in your outline. There are two Bible truths that drive our zeal. Number one, eternity is real. And number two, lost people matter to God. Eternity is real. Lost people matter to the Lord. That is what drives us. Becoming the biggest church in Angelina County is not our goal. On the other hand, we have to be faithful to respond to the people that God is bringing to us. Would you agree with that? God brings them. We need to respond to that. We can't call ourselves faithful to Christ and not do that. So here's the insight, your outline. Our mantra isn't if we build it, they will come. It is rather, since they keep coming, we must be faithful to build to, as God says, enlarge the borders of our tent. That's what I want us to understand. The reason we build is because God is sending people. God keeps sending people. Which brings us to number three. Pray for strength not to waste gospel circumstances. And that prayer is reflected in Paul's statement. Look at verse four again. He says, pray for us that God will open a door for us while we're here and that we'll see it so that we will be able to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison. I am in chains, some versions say. Well, look at the truth. Paul saw his imprisonment as a, now listen, as a divine arrangement for the sake of the gospel. This is absolutely revolutionary. I've never seen this before. And what Paul is saying is, he is asking the Colossian church to pray for him. He said, I want you to pray for me that I will have the strength not to waste the opportunity that God has for me here. I am here by divine purpose. Okay? I am in chains for a divine purpose. And he's saying, Father, keep me from focusing so much on my misery that all I think about is how miserable I am here. And maybe you're miserable in a job. Maybe you're miserable in a marriage relationship. Maybe you're miserable wherever you are. It's like you are in chains. What is Paul saying? He's saying, God, I don't want to over-focus on my misery because it's miserable here. I'm cold. I'm wet. I don't get much to eat. It is not easy. But he said, my prayer is, God, please help me that I don't over-focus on my misery and I miss why I am here in the first place. Because I serve a sovereign God who is in total control of my life. And if God doesn't want me in prison, I won't be in prison. But I am in prison, so there's a reason for me being in prison. Father, help me not to miss why I am here. I don't want to miss the purpose of these chains. Now, there may be somebody watching this morning and you're literally in jail. And we welcome you into the worship here. But here's the insight. While most of us are not literally in chains, what if we saw the circumstances of our lives as opportunities for the transmission of the gospel? That you're in that job that you hate. Why are you in a job you hate? If you are a child of the living God, Paul said, do you understand? I am in prison for a reason. And what I want to know is, God, help me not to miss why I'm here. Why am I going through what I'm going through? This has so much application on so many levels. The promise of the Bible in our text is that all of the chains of our lives are divinely appointed for gospel advancement. Maybe you're sick and you're listening. You're not able to be here this morning. What in the world, what purpose could God have in an illness, in a disease? Could it not be that God wants you to demonstrate to family, to friends, maybe medical personnel, that you've got a hope that goes beyond your physical sickness? I don't want to be here. And maybe you're saying COVID gives me the bejeebers. And I'm terrified of that. But do we understand God has got us in this period of earthly life for a reason? There are people who are terrified of dying. And the whole point is that you and I don't get caught up in, don't you tell me I've got to have a shot. Now, I get it. I don't like it either. But don't lose the focus. It is not about us just cleaning off a place because they want to make us do something we don't want to do. The question is, God, why am I in this generation in American life when all hell has broken loose and our country is in turmoil and we're at each other's throats and people literally hate the guy in the White House, which is nothing new. They've been doing that for the last 6 years. 8, 9, 10. You know, all this. Why am I here? You and I are born for this season. That's what Paul is saying. He said, God, I don't want to miss why I'm here. Maybe you didn't make the team or get the job so that you can show your friends your identity is not in your job. Your identity is not being on that particular team. You are secure in who you are. God's got a plan for me. Maybe you didn't get that raise because God wants you to teach to others the value of what really matters and that you're learning to be content with what you have. There's huge messages here. God's in control of my life. And I just walk in that. And so that's something to pray for. And then number four, he says, above everything, like his last word, he said, above everything, act wisely. Act wisely. Verse 5. He said, walk in wisdom toward outsiders. How do you do that? Well, according to the way he talks to us, we live day by day understanding that the brevity of our lives and the need that every day we behave ourselves in a godly way because we're surrounded by people who are on their way to hell. Psalm 90, verse 12. It's a psalm of Moses. And he says, so teach us, God, to number our days that we may apply our hearts to learn wisdom. In the Hebrew, what he said was, so teach us, Father, to add significance to our days. Help me understand why I am in the type of day that I'm living in. Why am I here? Help me understand. Help me add significance to my days, to understand why I'm here so I can live out my purpose. It is the wisdom that Paul said that King David had. Acts 13:36. Now when David had served God's purpose in his generation, he fell asleep. Isn't that a great verse? I told Catherine that's what I want on my tombstone. I pray to be worthy of that. That he served the purposes of God for his generation, and then he died. Isn't that the way to live? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Here's the admonition in your notes. Let Acts 13:36 be the motto of your life, child of God. So let's land the plane. What is the last thing? Two things. All right, two things, two takeaways. Number one, God says, I want you to remember, life is short, and you don't know when yours is going to end. Isn't that true? Life is short. You have no idea when it's going to end. Isaiah 40, verse 6. All flesh is like grass. Grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Amen. That's the focus of our life. You know, I watched a clip, just a clip. Rambo, remember the Rambo series? Rambo First Blood, 1982. I was 32 years old. Rambo, or Stallone, was 36. He was the hot dude of the day. Then you have him in 2013 doing the movie Escape. You know, that was something. And I remember when I looked at him in that movie, I went, whoa, dude, you've changed. You've gotten old and wrinkly. You know, he's just, the time is marching across his face. And then it hit me, you know, the same amount of years that have been walking across his face have also walked across mine. And I concluded, well, you know, it won't be much longer and I'm not going to be young and beautiful anymore. And I know some of you smart alecks out there are thinking, Pastor, that boat sailed a while ago, right? So God says, ask me to add significance to your days. There's a reason that you're alive. And the goal of life is that you're doing what he put you here to do in these days that you have. So the clock's ticking for all of us. And the last thing, he said, I want you to remember, men are lost and are headed to hell without Christ. We can never forget that. Jesus said in John 9:4, work while it is day, for the night is coming when no man can work. You remember that saying, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's what's going to last. And the truth in your outline, only two things in life last forever: the Word of God and the souls of men. Ladies and gentlemen, let's invest there. That's where God wants us to invest. That is the message here today. And I'd like for you to, everyone, if you would just to stand, would you do that? Now, I'm going to have you sit in just a moment because we've got an announcement video, but I just want everybody to stand for and bow our heads, just a time of invitation this morning. And I want you to think about in your mind, just within your own heart, will you today, that you just in your heart make this recommitment that you want to do why God put you here on the hill? If there's anything I want you to leave here, I want you to leave here realizing if you're part of the hill, you're here for a reason. God's got you here for a reason. I believe with all my heart that God gave me a great privilege when He moved in the hearts of the people here on the hill years ago to invite me to be shepherd here. That was a great honor for me. And I can never be thankful enough to so many of those souls that are already with the Lord, that they follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And I'm so grateful that God has given me this place here. And I want to do what God has put me here to do before my time is done. And if it's the desire of your heart that you want to do your part for why, that you want to put Christ first while you're here on the hill, all heads are bowed and nobody's looking around, would you just for me and for the Lord, just by raising your hand, just say, Brother John, I want Christ to be first in my life and I want to live for Him and do His will while I'm here on the hill. Would you just raise your hand and get it up? Nobody's looking around but me. I want to do what God wants me to do. All right, thank you. You can put them down. Now, if you are a member, I want to encourage you to commit to put the Lord Jesus first. And it may be this morning that what you need to do is just to grab one of those Connect cards and put your name on it, how you can be contacted, and when the prayer is done, that you go to the Next Step desk and just turn it in and just say, tell me where I could serve. Where are volunteers needed? Where are teachers needed? And maybe you want to say, how can I get into a life group? And so take a Connect card, put that on there. Maybe you want to say, I want to be part of the children's building campaign. I want to do that. And you would join Catherine and me. We are recommitting our lives to keep giving to the building for as long as we need until that thing is paid for. We're just committed to that. And I hope that you'll join us and be committed that we're going to do this because this is what God's called us to do, up and above our tithe and our offering. And so, Father, thank you this morning for the word. Thank you for what you've taught us. Thank you for the challenge that's in our soul. And Father, as we leave here this morning, I just pray that the sweetness of the time, the words of the Holy Spirit will not be jerked out of our hearts, but it will settle that we want to be what you put us here to be and to do. That eternity is in front of us. The clock is ticking on the days of our lives. And that we want to so live that we can stand before the Lord and hear Him say, well done. You accomplished why I put you there on the hill. You did what I put you on the earth to do. The assignment that was given to you. So, Father, may we wrestle with this until it's clear and then do it and stay at it until we come home. Now, bless us with your blessing. May our offering in just a moment bring honor to you as we give it with joy from our heart. In Christ's name, amen.